sound of water makes me think of course, of nature and the outdoors. It also makes me think about Milwaukee's Urban Ecology Center. One of the goals of that center is to give nearby residents easy access to nature, hiking, kayaking, canoeing, bird watching. And this exposure to nature can be a life-changing experience for many people. And we're going to hear about the stories of some of those people who have been affected by the Urban Ecology Center in Milwaukee. I'm Larry Mueller. Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network. We'll be talking about the center with Gail Grenier. She's the author of Young Voices from Wild Milwaukee, the Urban Ecology Center, and me. She's taught creative writing at Waukesha County Tech College for 25 years. Gail, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you for having me, Larry.
And Roger Coleman with us as well. He's executive assistant to the Director of Education and Strategic Planning at the Urban Ecology Center. And he really came up through the ranks as a visitor, a volunteer, a summer camper, outdoor leader, summer intern. My goodness, volunteer outreach.
Yes, yes.
Roger, thank you for joining us as well. And they're both at our Milwaukee studio, so it's great to have them with us, and we'll be talking to them. Want to hear from you as well as you listen in on this. You have a story to share about the Urban Ecology Center. Maybe you've seen the transformation of Riverside Park in Milwaukee, for example. Maybe you were part of a neighborhood program growing up somewhere else that changed your life. I hope you'll join in and share your experiences and ask your questions. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us with your comments at ideas@wpr.org. Gail, let me begin with you. I really enjoyed your book. It's quite inspiring to me, for me.
Thank you.
Actually. And one of the things that struck me, I was so glad I read the foreword right away. Mike Larson's history of the center was really interesting to me. Do you want to give us a little background on how this all got started? Because that is a really cool story.
It's a total grassroots story. The Riverside Park was a beautiful park designed by the same person who designed Central Park in New York. And people loved it. And because there was a dam, the water quality degraded and it started to smell like a sewer and people stopped using it. And by the 1980s, it was host to crime instead of fun. And horrible crime, drug dealing, and even the murder of a child. And the city was ready to raise the whole place. And the neighborhood said, no way, we love this place. So grassroots effort, they just started brainstorming and wound up starting a nature, sort of a ideas lab or nature lab out of a double-wide trailer right there at Riverside Park. And from that grew everything. And the park turned around completely.
And today you have an amazing setting. I actually had three locations, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, yes. There's Riverside and Washington Park.
We have the Menominee Valley on the south side.
I always want to call it Miller Park, but I know that's wrong. It's right near Miller Park.
That's what you think of.
Yep.
Well, I tell you, Roger... For someone who hasn't heard of the Milwaukee Urban Ecology Center, can you take us there and explain what it does? You talked about where it is. What does it really do?
Sure. So the Urban Ecology Center essentially is it's a nonprofit environmental education center that's all about inspiring and encouraging people to get outside and explore the natural outdoors through various community programs, volunteer opportunities, programs for families, adults, as well as children. They have a huge selection of summer camps to choose from for all different ages. It's just a wonderful, amazing place. And they also are really adamant about protecting our planet. And they do lots of things to introduce communities to learning how to be more sustainable for themselves and how to introduce that to their children as well. So it's a really lively organization.
Yeah. You first experienced it, the Urban Ecology Center, I think it was 2001, if I'm not mistaken. You were kind of a young kid then.
Yeah, I was a young titan. Back then. Yes.
what do you remember about that first encounter?
I remember going with my mom. We'd always stayed on the east side of Milwaukee, and for me as a kid, I was always, you know, I was like a kid. Like, kids these days aren't like kids. You know, I went outside, I rode my bike, I climbed trees. You know, I pretty much played outside from sun up until sundown until the streetlights came on. So attending an event where it was kind of based around the environment, there were things to do outside and fun like that. My mom took me to, I believe it was a fall festival that they were having. And I got there and they were just doing all these creative, fun, interesting things outside. There was rock climbing, there was animal feeding, there was music and just all different sorts of fun. And I just remember being there and just kind of, in a sense, being at all because it was definitely different than what I was used to. It was different. It was definitely different from my ordinary fun, like day to day.
Yeah, and I think as I remember, you have a chapter in the book, and you just, I think you went right back the next weekend, didn't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I actually went back. It was kind of like I literally asked, like, "Where's all the stuff?" Like, I walked through the door, stopped, and was just like, where's all the stuff? Are you guys closed? And they're like, no, that was just a festival. And I was thinking that it was kind of like an everyday thing. So I went back and they weren't doing all the things that they were doing. But one of the employees at the time had offered me to help him feed the animals. And from then on, you know, I was kind of hooked.
Oh, man. Just kept going back.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gail, what about you? How did the Urban Ecology Center come into your life? That's an interesting story, too, I think.
My son's very dear friend is Mike Larson, and I would see Mike all, you know, once in a while at family gatherings, and I kept telling Mike I had an idea to write a book about children and nature. And finally he said, why don't you walk with me at Riverside Park? And we walked together for an hour or so, and he told me these stories of urban kids whose lives had changed because of nature and a mentor. And I thought, well, there's my book. And that's mm-hmm. how it happened. And I love the Urban Ecology Center. I have recently moved from 10 acres in Menominee Falls to the south side of Milwaukee. And I wasn't afraid to move back into the city because I know that nature is everywhere.
Yeah, and you've got sounds like your home. You have an ideal location for your home as well. In that,
right, on a parkway. It's wonderful.
So what is it about the center that is so transformative?
I think not only do people find nature, but they find themselves, and that's the real transformation.
Mm-hmm. They find themselves.
Yes. At my book launch, I had, about 9 or 10 of the young people who were interviewed for the book speaking, and they are eloquent. They are so articulate. You hear Roger talking about what an old man he is here. you know, they know how to express their feelings, and some, I don't know how that happens. To me, it's a mystery, but the young people get their connection in nature, and they find themselves, and they grow confident, and they find passion and purpose.
And Roger, you talk about a number of the teams. Well, actually, a number of the teens in the story talk about that animal room as their first exposure to the Urban Ecology Center. What's the animal room?
Mm-hmm.
What is it?
So, I just kind of want to go back a little bit and just kind of touch on what Gail was saying as far
yeah,
as
yeah, sure.
You find yourself with the Urban Ecology Center, and I definitely agree. And if it's not a form of finding yourself, it's a form of finding parts of yourself that you didn't really know that you had, or that you didn't really know was something that was an interest to you until you were actually open to it and you've experienced being in the animal room per se. So you know, the animal room, it's an animal room that has all native animals to Wisconsin. Inside of it, from frogs, snakes, snapping turtles, fish, salamanders, a variety of different things. And that's pretty much a room that we utilize to teach kids about what different types of reptiles there are, and amphibians, and kids who would have never seen them otherwise being in a tank. But we do have an animal room committee developed full of people that are very specialized in the taking care of animals and just how to go about managing the animal room on a day-to-day basis.
Really great to have you guys with us. And we'll take some calls, by the way. If you have an experience to share, maybe a question about the Urban Ecology Center in Milwaukee, or maybe an experience to share, I hope you'll join us. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234, or email us at ideas@wpr.org. And let's go to Susan in Milwaukee. Susan, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi, thank you. Yeah, a few years ago, there was a huge mining project that was being discussed, which was up in the Bad River area in Odana, Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. And actually, there was an art show, and then there was also the tribal elder, Mike Wiggins, came, and he was from the Bad River tribe. And he spoke and had a beautiful, beautiful slideshow that he showed. And I ran into a lot of the people that I had shared classes with at UWM, with John Boatman at the Native American Studies Department. So it was just a beautiful, beautiful thing, because I ran into all those people that really did care about the environment.
And this was at the Urban Ecology Center.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Well, Gail, you
it was really fabulous.
Yeah. Gail, those kinds of events can be transformative in and of themselves.
Yeah, the UEC has unbelievable long arms. They have poets there. They have cooks there. They really are an outreach to the city. But I want to stress that the wonderful experiences that you can find at the UEC, you can find elsewhere. And so people who are listening
Definitely.
That have no Urban Ecology Center, they shouldn't feel bereft. You know, nature is everywhere, and these wonderful people are everywhere. You just have to look a little bit.
Roger, you talk about one of your early experiences in bird banding. Can you...
Yeah.
What's the process of bird banding? Somebody wondered about that.
Awesome. So bird banding is essentially the process of monitoring birds in a specific location. For instance, we have bird bandings at Riverside Park. And what those are intended to do is it's intended to, we band them at certain parts or certain times during the year. And we band them to figure out, one, are the same birds coming back? Is the population getting bigger? Is the population getting smaller? And from that, we start to learn different things about our park, as far as, is it inviting? Are some of the same plants or some of the same homes that they have, are they still there? So it just really helps us keep track of the population of a certain type of species of bird, and really tells us how well they're doing.
And you have other, so that's a pretty cool research project.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have other projects as well? Research projects as well.
Oh, boy.
So countless.
Many. So many we have. And that's actually an opportunity that people in the Milwaukee area can come check out, or people that are outside the greater Milwaukee area and you want to come travel for the weekend or for a weekend. But we have so many, and I'm probably just touching the tip of the iceberg, but we have snake survey. And this is a part of our community science program that we have at the Urban Ecology Center.
Yep.
There are snake surveys, bat surveys, insect surveys. Our community science team just came from doing a bio blitz. I forget where the location was. I know they're going to kill me. however, they went to a kind of like smaller island, and they pretty much surveyed basically all of the life, from mammals to insects, and they were able to distinguish, I think, between 500 some odd different species of life, including 70 different types of species of bugs.
Wow.
So they really get down and dirty when it comes to surveying, and that's just like one of the many opportunities that the Urban Ecology Center has. But if you're into science, if you're into research, if you're into bugs and life and the environment, you can come out there and join that. And even if you don't have an Urban Ecology Center in your area, you can still, you know, survey the bugs that are under rocks in your yard or in your backyard or in some of your city or county parks. You know, it doesn't have to be at an organization per se.
Yeah, but
because that was me before I was there.
Gail Grenier and Roger Coleman, yes, our guests today. Gail, you wanted to add to that?
Yes. You know, and you can just go out and have fun, too. I mean, some people don't care about bugs under a rock. Other people realize that all these animals are a sign that our environment is vibrant and healthy. And, you know, they are our canaries in the coal mine. But one thing the UEC does is have a free lending program. So you can go borrow some skis or skates or sleds or kayaks. And just that's really my whole purpose for this book, was to encourage people to get outside. It's just, it's, you know, nature's full of mysteries. And I think we find peacefulness and happiness when we get outside.
Definitely.
Gail Grenier and Roger Coleman, our guests from the Urban Ecology Center in Milwaukee. Gail's new book is titled Young Voices from Wild Milwaukee, the Urban Ecology Center and Me. Dave Potratz, our engineer today, Kate Archer-Kent, our producer. I'm Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network. Talking with Gail Grenier and Roger Coleman today from the Urban Ecology Center in Milwaukee. Gail has put together a great book. It's called Young Voices from Wild Milwaukee, the Urban Ecology Center and Me. Join in with your questions or comments or maybe your experiences to share. I bet there are a lot of those out there because I think it's somewhere around 100,000 people visit every year. 1-800-642-1234 or email us at ideas@wpr.org. And let's take another call. Mary in Mauston, we'll give you a chance now. Hi, Mary.
Hi, how are you?
Great, appreciate the call.
Well, I was thrilled to hear the word Riverside Park. I listen to your show during barn cleaning time each morning.
There you go.
So anyway, I grew up in Riverside Park. I was one of the original wild children. And I lived there in the early 60s with my family and many other families who just lived out there. And it was wonderful. Our neighborhood was claimed for the expansion of Riverside High School. So I was on East Riverside Place there, and eventually moved away to Colorado to continue on with my wildlife, but came back to Wisconsin, and my whole family seems to filter back and take advantage of Riverside Park and the Urban Ecology Center. It's fantastic.
Oh, hooray.
Yeah.
And you were a wild child or one of the wild children?
Of Riverside Park. Yep, I sure was.
Mm-hmm.
So, in the early 60s, I left out my mother, who is a stay-at-home mother who had been a biology teacher. We spent endless hours out in the park, and the Milwaukee Curling Club was on the other side of the bridge. And yes, it was a Olmsted Park, as was mentioned. And I ended up being fortunate to move over towards Lake Park, which was another Olmsted, and finish off that wild adventure of life there. Oh, it was just wonderful, and we did plenty of bug collecting and snake catching. My brother used to catch green snakes and sell them for a nickel, and frogging and ice skating out on the Milwaukee River, and the older kids used to do the toboggan run that was on the other side of the park, and I was a very little girl, and my neighbors used to take me across to gather acorns for the squirrels through the winter. We'd put them in brown paper sacks and keep them in the closet. So Riverside Park, it was a wonderful, wonderful place to grow up.
Well, Mary, thank you so much for calling. Children, was that a formal organization, sort of? Gail, do you remember?
No, this is the first I heard, but I love the title. Well, the words in my title, Young Voices from Wild Milwaukee. I think that's the whole point. Wildness is everywhere. You just have to look a little bit. I have a friend in New York. She read the book, and she said now when she walks in downtown Manhattan, she looks up. So in other words, she's looking up into the trees. And one of the storytellers in the book talks about bird families. She said there's fathers, mothers, and baby birds. And I think that's what my friend was entranced by.
Oh, thanks again, Mary. Appreciate it very much. I will take another call from another Mary, this one in Pewaukee. Hi, Mary.
Hi. Yes, I just wanted to make a comment that we went on a bus tour with some friends of ours that are from urban Milwaukee and previous had been urban Indianapolis. And actually, their fear, one of the people that we're friends with actually had a fear of the open spaces once we got in northern Wisconsin. And it was just strange to me. So I wanted to thank, Larry, for having the show and the guests for what you're doing, because I don't believe any young person should be not be exposed to nature and be able to enjoy all that it has to offer. And so this is a wonderful thing.
Yeah,
right.
Thanks. One of the storytellers in the book said, children sometimes will say to her, "Will walking on leaves hurt me?"
oh my gosh.
It's sad, you know, and Roger mentioned how kids stay inside a lot nowadays. And, you know, one of the big points in the book is that we're not putting down children who want to stay inside and, for instance, play video games, but just get out once in a while.
Yeah, get out there.
Leaves won't hurt. Leaves are fun.
1-800-642-1234, the number to call for you to join in, or email us at ideas@wpr.org. Gail, the adults you interview had a strong connection to nature as kids. You interviewed the research and community science coordinator, Jennifer Callahan, and I think she remembered being pushed in a stroller at a nature preserve in Florida.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they saw a big alligator, and she and her brother had learned at nursery school that when you see an alligator, you run in a zigzag fashion. So they jumped out of the stroller and ran in a zigzag fashion away and left their mother with the gator. I believe they all survived.
Did you find that their early exposure in nature influenced where they are today in many cases?
Yes. Mike Larson always says nature and a mentor, those are key. So, you know, it might be just your grandpa who took you to chop wood or your dad who took you fishing. It might be something very small. And some of the people, like Roger's cousin Sean, he said he always liked dogs, but he didn't really realize he loved nature until Roger brought him to the Urban Ecology Center. And it was sort of a aha moment when he realized, oh, there's more to nature than dogs.
Yeah. I was going to ask you, right, what was it like to recruit family members and friends to the center? Was it a challenge at times, or?
I would say yes and no. You know, I grew up in the inner city of Milwaukee, and growing up, you know, kids either click up or they have things that they think are cool and things that they think aren't cool. And climbing trees and hanging outside and doing whatever and just having fun was cool to me and wasn't cool to everybody. So with that, there was kind of like an imbalance between, hey, I found out this really cool place, let's go there and kick it after school. And there was a little bit of pushback until I actually brought friends there because we had nothing else to do. And they were just blown away by, you know, being able to see a snapping turtle or hold a snake or just different things like that. And that within itself was just kind of like a winning moment. Like, even if they don't come back, you know, it's just kind of what she was saying about how Mike said you just need nature and a mentor. You know, you just need someone to open the door. You know, everyone has their own time where they decide to walk through that door or they decide to stand at the door and just kind of look through. So there are a lot of those different types of moments. With my cousin Sean, there were conversations of, hey, there's a door here, let's go check it out. And then I got him to the door, opened it, and in Sean's case, I kind of kicked him through a little bit. But
he became possessive of the park, as a matter of fact, over time.
Definitely. You know, we just started hanging out in the parks, and that was me opening the door, and me kicking him through the door was actually taking him to the Urban Ecology Center, introducing him to some of the staff, the animals, the programs, and just the endless opportunities that they have for kids like us. And it was an amazing feeling. just to know, like, the feeling that I felt when I was first introduced to it doesn't just exist within myself. It can happen to anyone, and to see that actually take place was awesome.
Yeah, and he even Sean even became a park ranger, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, we both were.
Yeah.
Yep.
So he was very possessive of the park.
Yeah.
Oh man.
And he had previously been a kid who was doing graffiti. I mean, he might have been down a pretty bad path. So I think nature really saved Sean.
Yeah. There was something he said I thought that was poignant. He said, I knew I was poor, but I felt very rich.
Yes, yes, because he was canoeing down this beautiful river in Milwaukee, and he was thinking, you know, there's rich people who have never seen this.
Right, right. Yeah. And I think more than anything, it's not about the money. It's not about, I just mainly think it's about having the opportunity to go. And I say that from a standpoint of even a walk, where you take a walk and you see beautiful trees or flowers, or you have that one moment where you see a deer in the park. You know, it's a very self-enriching moment. And I feel like no matter where you are, what you're doing outside, I feel like it's very easy to find that moment, and we often relish in that moment, but for some people, when we relish in that moment, that moment becomes 5, 10, 15 years at an organization, or years studying in a particular field. And others, you know, it's just taking the time to smell the roses.
Yeah, it's happiness.
Yeah. And I think that's definitely what that was.
Yeah, and for you, you wound up going to some new places you probably might never have visited. The Grand Tetons, I think you were at, mm-hmm. Yellowstone.
Yes.
That happened sort of through UEC.
Yeah, not sort of, it did. I wouldn't have gone to Wyoming. So what we did for the listeners was, for the Outdoor Leader program, they took a bunch of high schoolers out into Wyoming in the middle of nowhere, the Grand Tetons, for a week. And we stayed out there with no electricity, no running water, mm-hmm. So no showers and no cell phones, and all of nature. And I can truly say it was an amazing experience.
Yeah.
Like that is that awe moment that when I still think about it, like I can still feel how I felt when I was there. I can still see the mountains and the landscapes and the variations of the vegetation. Like it was just beautiful.
It sounds like a wonderful experience.
You know, I think it's all mysteries, and we're sitting here trying to talk about a mystery, and we don't even have words for it. But it's nature is so powerful. We keep trying to describe it.
Yeah, we saw a moose one time, and I was I didn't know that moose were that big because they were freaking huge, and you really didn't have any words for it. And we saw bison, and you didn't really have words for that either. So,
well, Gail, in your interview with people, and you interviewed people, I think they were anywhere from 15 to 40 years old. Did they tell you some consistent things? Were there some common threads in their stories and how they got maybe involved in the UEC?
Yes. The consistency was that they found this passion. Some of them actually, like Roger said, wound up in nature fields professionally, and others just became people who were enriched by nature. So I would say, mm-hmm. you know, some of them were heading down a bad path, and the UEC changed their lives that way, but not all of them, for sure. I would say most of them had some basis in nature, but the UEC sort of opened that mystery and made it more firm in their hearts, and nature will always be something that enriches their lives and brings them serenity.
For sure.
In your interview with Katrina Young Harris, she talked about some good things. And she talked about how she had a difficult argument one day with a worker about urban kids not liking science. She had gone to pick up her boys from a canoe trip, and that particular person denied that they had gone because they were black.
Right.
Help us understand what was going on there, and what are the barriers and stereotypes? Maybe you could both comment on that. What are the barriers and stereotypes we face in science education?
Well, I think it's just an idea that black kids don't like science. But, you know, I started teaching down in 1972 in Norfolk, Virginia, and I found I had 7th and 8th graders, and I found that kids, they're excited about everything. All you have to do is look them in the eye and be open and share, and it, mm-hmm. you know, they get passionate.
Yeah, I think I wouldn't even go as far as saying that the black kids don't like science. I think it's more a situation of people don't know what they don't know. Yeah. They are more standoffish when being introduced to anything, whether it be bungee jumping. I mean, that's probably a little bit more extreme, but like trying a new food or going out into the park where there are deer running around and you don't know deer from anything else, so you don't know what type of behavior to expect. And I think within the African American community and just, you know, urban communities, I wouldn't even kind of standardize that to African Americans, but I just think that growing up in the city and around the city, there's not much time or there's not much focus. Especially for me, there wasn't much focus on the environment and recycling, because I didn't recycle when I was growing up. I would have loved to, but, you know, there are so many different things going on that we don't specifically have the time, or we aren't introduced to environmental education or environmental science to really know much about it, to really care or to really be invested and want to learn more about it. Yeah. You know, I think we relate to what relates to us, and I think that starts from the household. I think that it transitions into what we learn and what we don't learn in schools, especially public schools. So I think there's a lot about it, but simply put, we don't know what we don't know until we're told.
Those are good points. Thanks for that. Let's go to Betty and Brown Deer.
Hi.
Hi, Betty. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, I'm just so excited to hear your show. This is so good. I grew up a few blocks from Riverside Park, and in the 40s and 50s. And when we were little, we would go down and skate with my dad. And later on, Richard Barloga appeared, and then Elsa appeared and did nature walks through the park. And when we were little, we would sneak in and go under the bridge where we weren't really allowed to go, so we could walk down to the river. But to see this grow up as a nature center, and to see the river now be a healthy river. When my dad was a kid, they used to swim there and canoe from the swimming club across the river. But I just love going down there and seeing what's happened. And there's all kinds of equipment available. I mean, there are canoes and all this great stuff. It's just very exciting.
Oh, well, thank you very much for calling. Do you get that excitement? Do you feel that excitement, Gail and Roger?
Totally.
Yeah.
You walk into any of the centers and people are excited and smiling. Everybody's happy. And, you know, each chapter of the book is the voice of the storyteller. It's not my writing. It's theirs. Mm. And they all talk about the magic. And they said the magic was even in the double wide trailer. So, yes, now there are nice, pretty buildings. But I think the magic is from people who care.
And those buildings, they're very environmentally sound and so forth. Talk about them for just a minute.
Maybe you, Roger.
I'll specifically speak on the Riverside Park branch. So the building is, I mean, So much. It's just like, where do you even start?
Rainwater flushing.
Yeah, as I said, we are a very sustainable organization, and they truly do practice that, from collecting rainwater to save it for our gardens. We have all of the garden beds around the building are rain gardens, which means that they have they are inverted to collect rainwater and soak it up, and it holds the rainwater a lot longer than it would if it was just flat, because the rainwater would run off. The building has over 100 solar panels on top of it, so we generate our own power. We collect rainwater. We have these huge kind of sterns that we have in the garage that collect them, that collect the water from the rain, and we use that water to flush our toilets. The second floor of the building was donated from an old school. It's actually an old gymnasium floor. There are so many hidden gems. Were to pop up, I would love to give anyone a tour.
Well,
at the Riverside Ranch.
Yeah, it sounds wonderful. You know, in your writing, in your chapter, Roger, you said, talking about the hope, your hope for the UEC was that, one of the things was, don't get too big and focus on the main mission. Maybe expand on that a little bit.
I think there comes a point in time where, I'm not saying for every organization or every company, but there comes a point in time where organizations and companies are started out as an idea from someone. That idea then grows, staff are hired, and they become this interwoven string in a basket called corporate America. And I've seen a lot of businesses change for the fact that they are corporate, or for the fact that they are getting bigger. And for me, from when I was young to now, like the main thing that was really the hook and sink for me was the fact that the staff were so friendly and amazing and welcoming and inviting. And, sometimes corporations and businesses can get lost in that because they've hired so many people. There's so many things to do and not enough time to sit down and talk for a few minutes, or, you know, build those types of relationships. So when I said that, I was more so meaning...
keep that personal touch.
That personal touch. That personal touch is what keeps people from the community coming back. That's what keeps kids like me coming back. You can say that you are this huge organization and you have this many employees and you're doing this across the city, but what are you doing for your communities? Do you have any stories about little children like me, or people that are influenced like Gail to write a book, you know? So I think that's what matters a lot.
And speaking of that book, Young Voices from Wild Milwaukee, the Urban Ecology Center and Me, Gail, you've got a book event coming up on November 7th, I think you're at.
Yes. I'm the guest speaker for the annual meeting of Friends of Lapham Peak, and it's open to the public, and there's refreshments, and it's free.
And where, how do people,
free.
And people certainly at that event can buy copies of your book, but I would guess.
Sure, sure.
But how else do they get copies?
It's for sale at Woodland Pattern and Boswell Books, and online through Henschel House Publications and Amazon.com.
So lots of places, and I think there's so many events and things going on at the center, probably the best thing to do is to go to urbanecologycenter.org, if I'm not mistaken, and that will tell you a whole bunch about the Urban Ecology Center and about all the various activities. There's tons of stuff going on all the time there. And Gail and Roger, it's been a pleasure to have you on today. By the way, has Sam Thayer ever visited out there?
Sam Thayer?
Yeah, he's my Thayer. Next guest. I'll ask him.
Oh, okay.
I probably remember him by face.
He's got a book called Incredible Wild Edibles, and he does a lot of work with wild foods. And so
awesome.
I'm going to ask him But I want to, in the meantime, thank you both so much for being with us. It was fun talking with you.
Thank you. Thanks for having us. Thank you, Larry.
Gail Grenier is a journalist and teacher, author of Young Voices from Wild Milwaukee, the Urban Ecology Center, and me. And Roger Coleman, executive assistant to the Director of Education and Strategic Planning at the Urban Ecology Center. You can tell from their excitement that it's just a fun, fun place to visit and maybe to change your youngster's life, or maybe change your own life a little bit. A guy that's probably changed a lot of lives as well is Sam Thayer, who's been foraging and fishing and camping and studying nature since he was a little kid. And he's our next guest as we talk with him about foraging for and storing wild food. Sam Thayer next here on the Ideas Network.